Father, we're grateful for a day set apart where we can come and remind ourselves that we're not alone in this world. We have each other as your people, and we're going to be together forever. And we have you. And we have a purpose in this world besides simply earning a paycheck and surviving. We have the purpose of living righteous, holy lives as your aggressive action against evil in the world. And we have a chance to be thankful rather than concentrate on our pain. And, oh God, a myriad of other things that are wrapped up in this gift called the Sabbath. And I pray that you'll help us understand it now in a way maybe we never have before, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I've discovered a very happy truth in our study of these Ten Commandments. Rather than being a restrictor on the showerhead of life, I have concluded more than ever before that God's Ten Commandments open floodgates of joy and freedom to life as we're called to live it under the aegis of Jesus Christ. And I think this truth becomes clear in the commandment we study today. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God is not trying to restrict life when he uttered these laws. He's giving us special gifts that only his children are in a position to understand and to accept and to enjoy. And I marvel at how easily I and all of us have disobeyed this commandment, and with very little sense of guilt. In America today, the idea of the Sabbath is dead. It's been dead for decades. Remember the movie Chariots of Fire? That was the story of Eric Little, a true story of an Olympic athlete who was just about 40 years ago, I guess, maybe 50 years, I'm not sure exactly, but in this century, he went and was due to get a gold medal, but he found that at the Olympics, his event was scheduled on Sunday, and he was a Protestant Christian, and in those days, he had such a conviction about the Sabbath that he refused to run even though he meant he would not get a gold medal. The papers all over the world picked that up, and at least people, maybe they didn't agree with him, but they understood the conviction. Today, I doubt if anyone would even understand what Eric Little was thinking about, because the idea of Sabbath is so out of our consciousness. In fact, in contrast, in the last Olympics, many of the athletes were asked, if you knew that steroids would kill you in 2 years, and yet if you knew in taking them you could win a gold medal, what would you do? And I think Scott Farmer told me 70% say they'd take the steroids and lose their lives in 2 years just to get the gold medal. That's how values have changed in our century. Today we want to win at any cost, and Eric Little's seem kind of like blue laws of the past who have a conviction and allegiance to God that are so much greater than even a gold medal or anything else we could have for ourselves. Life has become a seven-day pursuit of business and pleasure. If you've been reading the projections for future shopping centers, you know that they're going to be open 365 days a year. And most stores are going to open 24 hours a day. And, of course, that's already begun here in Menlo Park with markets and gas stations. Now, here's the point. Ignoring God's directive about rest is exacting a great toll from us. We're disobeying the commandment. We have no sense of guilt, but we're paying a price. We just don't know why we're paying the price. Stress has become epidemic, for example. Conversations that we shower around our lives every day include complaints such as, I'm doing more, but I'm enjoying it less. I never have time to do what I really want to do. I'm not in control of my schedule. It controls me. I want to spend time with my family. I want to cultivate relationships and friendships, but I don't have the time. I want to grow in my Christian life, read scripture, pray, get involved in the life of the church, but I don't have time. If these feelings sound familiar, maybe we understand that although we've ignored this commandment, we're not really getting by with breaking it. And maybe today we need a refresher course to look at it and the freedom it offers. In these words, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And according to your bulletin, if you want to peek in there, that's the outline. We're going to look at least three lessons that God has for us in this text. First, setting aside one day each week for rest is not a luxury, it's a necessity. No human being was designed to be on the run 7 days a week. Knowing the addictive nature of work, God made it a command to take 1 day a week to rest, to enjoy, to fill our lives with something more than labor. God modeled our need for rest himself. If you read Genesis and then read our text, you find that after working in creation for 6 days, the God of this universe took a whole day off and rested. Our text reads, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." We take a Sabbath because God took a Sabbath. Life was created to be lived in rhythm, like the rise and fall of tides, light and darkness, spring and winter, rest and work. Even our heart alternates between beating and resting. And if you have high blood pressure, even in the rest stroke, I understand the heart doesn't rest, and that's why it can cause heart trouble. And then when the Jews were delivered from bondage in Egypt, they observed Saturday as a time to remember their 400 years of slavery in which they never had a day off. Listen to Scripture in Deuteronomy, again commenting on this commandment. "You shall remember that you were a servant in the land of Egypt, with no days off," I added, "and the Lord brought you out thence with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and therefore the Lord commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." God modeled the Sabbath by taking a day of rest. The Israelites, after they were delivered from bondage, took the day of rest to remind themselves they're no longer slaves. Now my question, how strange we must be commanded to not live like slaves, that God has to command us not to be in bondage to our work. Isn't that interesting? You see, our natural bent is to fall back into slavery, even as Christians, to live as if we weren't children of God, even though we are. And then because Jesus was raised from the dead on Sunday morning, Christians gradually moved from Saturday to Sunday, but you might be interested to know it was not until 321 AD that Sunday actually became the official day for worship. For 300 years, we just joined the Jews in following Saturday. So today in our church, we have the best of both possible worlds with services on both days. But Jesus talked about rest. But what was new that the Jews didn't have, he said, "You really find your rest in me." And he gave this very beautiful invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Which tells us that as Christians, we have more horsepower to obey this commandment than the Jews did, because we have Jesus, and he's the source of our rest. And he can become the motivating force to help us understand why we need 1 day in seven to do something more than work. What we do discover is the entire Bible warns us to avoid addiction to constant activity. And I need to warn us today that consequences for disobeying this commandment are painful, and they're just as serious as disobedience to any of the other Ten Commandments that we've been studying. For example, what happens when we're a church that disobeys this commandment? What happens to us individually? Well, we become people, for example, who are in bondage to stress, to pressure, to hypertension, to workaholism. And it's interesting, we develop either one or the other attitudes toward work. We either love work so much we're addicted to it and can't get away from it, because you see, then at work we don't have to think about our other problems, so we spend 7 days a week at it. Or we begin to hate work so much we don't even want to ever, we just dread Sunday morning and we thank God it's Friday. Work becomes the worst thing in our life. Or we become people who value others only for what they do rather than for what they are. Have you ever been at a lunch and you're with a group of strangers and you want to get acquainted? Isn't the first question usually asked, "What do you do?" And how seldom we ever get around to who they are. Because it's hard for us to disassociate who we are from what we do. And God didn't want it that way. And then we become people who suffer from loneliness and regret, caused by failure to evaluate the price tags on those things in which we're investing this non-renewable commodity called life. Just last week, I was talking to some parents who are kind of in our age group, and we marvel at how fast these little, beautiful children grow up. And they were commenting that their baby now is in high school, and it was only like yesterday that they were in kindergarten or even holding them in our arms. And the day comes too quickly when it's an empty nest. And the question we want to ask that is so rampant here in Silicon Valley, and that is, in all our efforts to chase and to run, how many of us are missing this precious commodity of enjoying our children? How many dads will be in that trap that I mention so often, because I have weddings here all of the time, in tears, standing right there, not because they're losing their daughter, but because their daughter is leaving their home and she's 20, 23, 24, and he doesn't even know her because he's been so busy working, they never even became friends. And it can't be recaptured. Those are just hints of the price we pay for disobeying this commandments. How many of you live with husbands and wives and you got married to be together? And how long has it been since you even took a brunch together? Life has become so addictive, we've forgotten how to even take time for those closest in this world to us. That's the price we pay. And God didn't want it that way. Somewhere I read a story about a moth with no mouth. It's a species of caterpillar that lays its eggs and then changes into a moth that has no digestive system. Because it has no way of taking in food, it starves to death in a few hours. Nature has programmed this moth to reproduce, and then it's programmed to die. Happily, God commands us, his children, to use our precious gift of life to do more than produce and reproduce. But if we disobey this commandment, that's basically all we're doing. We're producing, and we reproduce, but we don't live. Setting aside one day a week for rest is not a luxury, it's a necessity, says the Holy Spirit. The second truth within this commandment, taking one day a week for rest is a delight, making our work more enjoyable. I want to repeat, God never intended our labor to be a prison from which we seek escape. Nor did he intend it to be a narcotic to which we escape and become addicted. You know, when I take a break from my ministry, and I try to model that for you people, the only reason I'm still here after 15 years in this pulpit is because God has given me the grace of necessity. I can't take credit for it. My body and my spirit just won't work without breaks. And I model that for you because I think it's important. When I take a break from my job, I return to my ministry with a new sense of joy and expectation rather than just dragging here onto the pulpit, trying to paste on some smile and pretend everything's okay, but inside I'm dry and empty and have nothing to give you. After a break, challenges that seemed overwhelming before rest afterwards seemed totally attainable. Regular rest that feeds our souls prevents us from adopting this American blasphemy, as I call it, thank God it's Friday. Because that sounds like we're a group of Israeli slaves still in Egypt, bound to our work. Above all, taking one day a week as a Sabbath helps us view our work as something we do for the glory of Christ, not simply a paycheck. Now again, I want to list some symptoms that might indicate whether or not you need this sermon. I think of all the Ten Commandments that I've spoken about, this is the one that by obedience to it, it has changed my life most dramatically. There was a time in this place, and you were happy enough to listen to it when I told you, that I was so close to burnout, I really didn't think that I was going to make it here. And one of the reasons I discovered I fell into that trap was that in my desire to do the Lord's work, I was doing it 7 days a week, and my body wasn't keeping up with my spirit at all. Now, here are some symptoms that are out of my heart at that time that maybe you identify with. We become so tired that rest doesn't transfuse us with new energy. In fact, when you go away to rest, you almost become more depressed and more run down because you're thinking about the fact you have to go back. Or we go on a break and can't get our minds off of work, and we return with no sense of refreshment, only dread of facing the tasks of another week. Now, I know one-to-one, when I talk to you people, many of you feel like this. And I trace it to a disobedience of this commandment that we're not listening to God to take some rest regularly in the midst of our work. Refusing the gift of the Sabbath can cause our souls and bodies to cough and to sputter and then finally break down. Consider what happens when you miss one night's sleep. Our high school kids, maybe some of you are parents, they had a red eye here Friday night, and I really know my age. The kids call it fun to stay up all night, and they were skating and dancing and doing all these things. But my Paul's a real ape. He's a macho guy. He has twice the energy that I have, but he was up all night, and he came home Saturday, and he was zonked, and he slept all day. Even a young man couldn't handle being without sleep all night. Neither can you or me. We can't function. That same impact is taking place in your souls when we and when all of us go 7 days a week without rest. Taking one day a week prevents us from falling into this virus of dragging through life, feeling chronically tired, feeling enslaved to work, feeling we have no time to do the things we really want to do. It protects us from this virus that I believe is infecting America today, because you wonder why we don't have many people smiling, why we look at the holidays almost with dread because we only see a heavy camel and the holidays adding more weight on it. Why is that? Because we are disobeying God's directive. Take one day and seven for rest. The Sabbath is a delight that makes work a joy. Now, a final and practical lesson in this commandment is a question. What does God mean by keeping the Sabbath day holy? Or in other words, how do we do it? Scripture teaches that a day of rest is not merely another day for hectic activity, for catching up with what we didn't get done the rest of the week. And unfortunately, that's how it breaks down for most of us. I have discovered, and using the prescription for my life, and our Sabbath has to be Friday, because it can't be Sunday, obviously. I've learned that if I don't plan for Friday to be a day of pleasure and rest and fun, it won't happen. The day just sort of, if I let events plan the day for me, by Friday night I'm very depressed because it's been filled up with a bunch of junk, not what I really wanted, it just happened and I didn't get my rest. I believe we need to plan for a Sabbath and not merely allow it to happen. For example, I find I can blow a whole Sunday afternoon watching a football game, and if the 49ers lose, I'm upset for the rest of the day, and then I ask myself, why did I put myself through that? Obviously, a day of rest for most of you would be Sunday, and I believe first and foremost it should include time for nourishing our souls. And that means regular worship, and that means prayer, and time set apart to have a dialogue and a relationship with our God. It's in those moments that we ask the big questions, like Scott asked you last week, and I found disturbed many of us. Why am I here on earth? You see, when we're rushing, we don't ask a question that big. Or what am I doing with my life that has eternal value? Those are haunting questions, and if they're not asked, as someone has said, the unexamined life is not even worth living. Getting close to the Lord helps us ask the big questions so the rest of the week makes sense. And then I believe a day of rest should include time for fun and for cultivating relationships with those we love. What are those things you want to do that you feel work prevents you from doing? Then do them on your Sabbath. Rediscover the art of conversation, of simply enjoying your family and your friends. Take some naps. Go for walks. Go out for a brunch. You'll wonder why you waited so long to accept this gift. It'll tell you at least that one day a week you're not a slave. You're a child of the King, and you're living like one. Well, to summarize this commandment, be reminded that setting aside one day a week for rest is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And you're going to break down if you don't heed the words. It's not a restriction, but it's a delight. But it's a day that needs to be planned so that rest and renewal can happen. We plan everything else. Why not plan something as strategic as this one day a week that's vital for our souls? And then a little PS as we close. You know that if you take one day a week and seven for rest, a miracle will start happening. And I found it in my life. You're going to find that you also have the ability and the savvy to take many vacations during the week. And I think this is what makes life so electric, that you can begin to see little moment Sabbaths in every day, no matter how hectic they are. One writer puts it this way. What is life about? It's not about writing great books, amassing great wealth, or achieving great power. It's about loving and being loved. It's about enjoying your food and sitting in the sun rather than rushing through lunch and hurrying back to the office. It's about savoring the beauty of moments that don't last and never come back. The sunsets, the leaves turning color, the rare moments of true human communication. It's about savoring them rather than missing out on them because we're so busy. And they will not hold still until we get around to them. And once they're gone forever. Carl Jung, the great psychologist, said that in all his patients in the second half of life, the cause of their illness was having lost a religious outlook on life. And all healing was related to rediscovering that outlook. Perhaps rediscovery of this commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, can mean new spiritual, emotional, and physical health to all of us. And I want to give you permission today in God's name to take a day of rest. I put it in our Lord's words, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The gift is there, but you have to receive it. And you have to open it like any present. And I hope you will this week. And to God's name be the glory. Amen.